Welcome everyone to today's podcast and welcome to www.iloverealestate.tv. Now, if you haven't been on my website, you better jump on there, go and have a look at the I Love Real Estate website, because if you're enjoying my podcast, there's a whole lot more information on the website as well. So jump on there and have a little bit of a poke around. Lots and lots of free resources there you can go and have a look at. Now, today the topic of the podcast is going to be on joint ventures, and in particular joint venture agreements, because I have been, you know, doing this stuff for a very long time, and the things that I've seen that are absolutely horrendous, and they could have been so easily fixed if we had simply had a joint venture agreement in place. Now, I'm very much in favour of joint ventures. I think they can be very advantageous. I think they can be absolutely a win-win scenario for everybody. The thing is, you've got to do it like a business. You know, I don't care if you're doing it with your sister or your mother or your whoever. You got to do it like a business, because it is a business transaction, and you wouldn't go into a business transaction without the proper documentation in place. Now, to help me talk about this and to go through, some of the nitty gritty fundamentals of joint ventures, and in particular joint venture agreements, I have my good friend and colleague. He has been my accountant for over 20 years. Lawyer. He's been my lawyer for over 20-odd years. He's having a bit of a giggle here because we always have this thing about being an accountant and a lawyer. Calvin, how are you?
Oh, so I've been demoted now.
Oh, have you now? It's an ongoing joke between us.
Yeah, right.
He talks about movies and how, you know, lawyers are always more sexy than accountants, because they make all these movies about lawyers and they never make any movies about accountants. Excuse me, Calvin. This last year, there was a movie out. It was an absolute blockbuster and top of the charts. And what was it called again?
The Walking Dead.
It was called The Accountant.
I had to throw that one in, right?
Let's get back to the topic at hand, shall we?
Lovely.
All right, let's talk about joint ventures. Far more interesting.
Yep.
Now, joint ventures can be very beneficial. People can pool resources. They can pool skills. They can pool time. They can pool serviceability. Mm. They can get deals done that perhaps they couldn't do on their own.
Mm.
But it's got to be done the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as a vehicle, as joining up forces, that's done every day. It's done at the personal level. It's done at the big corporation levels, you know, where big mining companies join up together to do a joint venture to, you know, mine a...
Countries do, with military things and stuff.
All sorts of stuff. So, you know, when you're looking at, you know, a property project and you think it's too big to do by yourself, but you've seen that opportunity, you're then looking for maybe people to help you through that process. And joining up and sharing the benefits of that project, so sharing the profits. So when some of these projects obviously could be a short one, let's say it's a simple renovation where, you know, you're doing things and you're just flipping it and getting the profits quickly, to, you know, doing a development for cutting up blocks, townhouses, etc. So it could last a couple of months, it could last a couple of years. So, you know, underlying all of this is obviously the agreement that you hopefully strike on day one, and making sure that at the end of the day that you and your joint venture partner still have that same understanding and agreement. So to do that, you do need papers, you need something in writing to confirm that agreement. And that document is called a joint venture agreement.
Okay? So let's talk about this joint venture agreement, because we'll talk about the agreement and then perhaps why people don't end up going down this road.
Mm.
What goes into a joint venture agreement? I mean, I always say that the best thing to do is to sit down with your joint venture partner and go through absolutely every single possible what-if scenario.
Yes.
You know, and think about everything you can possibly think about, like, what happens if at the end of it your plan was to sell the property and you can't sell it?
Right.
What do you do? Okay. Where's your exit plan? What's your plan B? what whose responsibilities are to do this, that, and whatever else. You know, what's the job sheet?
You're right.
Things like what happens if runs out of money? You know, what happens if the budget blows out and you run out of money? What are you going to do? What happens if somebody dies? What happens if somebody gets divorced? What happens if somebody, becomes mentally incapacitated? All of these things are stuff that you don't think ever is going to happen. And unless you sort of listen to something like this, you wouldn't even cross your mind. But these things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So what people think about is the profit at the end. And that's the thing that sort of engages them and sort of pulls them together. And that's fine, and that's great, and that's the headline sort of item that your people are concentrated on. It's when you then start thinking through that and go like, what exactly does that mean, and how do we actually get to that point where we're going to enjoy the profits? So as Dipna was mentioning, yes, there's the initial formation of that joint venture, and then the job sheet. That job sheet is actually very important in so far as mapping out the time frames on how the project is to come together, and also mapping out the obligations of each of the joint venture partners. So if you're the doing partner, or you're the money partner, or you're a combination of both, that each has this job list to ensure that there is a level of accountability on both sides. So it's something where you don't rely on, oh, last week we talked about something, were you meant to be doing that, or was I meant to be doing that? Or if we were meant to be doing stuff, what level of stuff was I meant to be doing, and what level of stuff was Dipna meant to be doing? Without mapping out that detail, you're going to lose yourself in that process. And if you do that, then it will be a source of frustration for the joint venture. It will slow things down, and of course, it will be a source of dispute. Okay, part of having these documents in play is a risk management tool. Okay. You're relying on this document to ensure that down the track, you come back to it and say, oh, that's right, that's what we agreed, so there's no dispute about it. If you don't map it out, then it's like, oh, I think it's what's meant to be that. Because don't forget, you're coming together to sort of join your interests and making sure that joint interest keeps going forward together. Mm. What you don't want is, because let's be real here, okay, there's nothing like self-interest. If there's a question mark about, well, is that meant to be you or me, self-interest will say it's that person's problem. So, you're trying to take that stuff away, and this is sort of, I guess, the basis of, or the platform to form that relationship, that trust then comes into play, okay? And if you take that self-interest stuff out of it, then trust then starts happening, because you all know what each is meant to be doing, and you take away all that guesswork.
And, I mean, you mentioned there the fact that, everyone focuses on the profit, but one of the things that has to be in a joint venture agreement is, what happens if you make
right.
a loss?
Right, correct.
You know, who's going to bear the loss?
Right. So if you don't deal with that as well, then that will be also a source of dispute. And it will be a huge source of dispute when that comes, because at that point, no one is happy to take on the loss. Everyone's happy to share in the profit. No one wants to share in the loss.
So when you're putting these things together, at the outset, what I recommend is everybody sits down, they go through their what-if scenarios, they actually write it down.
Yes.
Which is an intention for a joint venture, and write down every single what-if scenario that they can possibly think of, and then sign it so that at least they've got, yes, we both agree on this, and then take it to someone like yourself and get a proper document drawn up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, our advice at this level is, don't try and think about the technical issues, because there will be things you just won't know to deal with. It's more about the broad idea of, what this joint venture is meant to be and what each other's responsibility is. Then it's really then that sort of briefing paper should be one that you can easily send through to the lawyers for the legal documentation to sort of come off from it. But I think it's also is a good one as a briefing paper to your accountants as well, so that they can also see through and work through with you and your and or your joint venture partner with the feasibilities and also the tax consequences and the tax management of the joint venture, because you're trying to also maximize the best use of money as it's coming through, management of cash flows, etc., etc.
And structure's got to be a big part of that as well.
Structures is a huge part of it, okay? Mm. So, again, this also helps the parties, your advisors as well, to then work through and see through, you know, what's the best structure for you going into the joint venture and the joint venture vehicle itself, what is the best vehicle for that to be, okay?
Okay. Now, tell us some of the horror stories that have come up.
The horror stories that sort of and the war stories, okay, that come up is sometimes the absence of these documentation, and that's why, you know, I sort of have said that you know, without it, disputes happen. Disputes happen because at the end of the day, after, you know, a 12-month period or whatever, people change their minds because they go, oh wow, I didn't really mean for him to share 50%. Really, it should be 40%. Maybe I can adjust the accounting so that, you know, my portion is a particular amount, so that you know, that person gets something more or less. That is a problem, because that's where the self-interest stuff comes through. There's also, you know, obviously sometimes where, you know, financing can't happen because people overestimate their situation, and then the joint venture sort of can and sometimes does fall apart because of that. So again, you know, where people also pass away or become incapacitated in some particular way. How do you manage that risk away from your joint venture? So there needs to be some level of thought around it. What we've seen at some level, you know, is if you're relying on, let's say, a joint venture partner that is a moneyed partner, and they have used their equity position, jobs as the security to secure finance, and if something happens to their financing position, that means finance is now harder to get. You know, what happens to it? So the important part of that, of course, is the timing and when you actually commit funds to do things. Because let's say you've signed contracts at a point where finance becomes difficult. You know, what do you do, especially if, let's say, the joint venture vehicle is meant to be signing contracts, settling contracts, building contracts, all sorts of stuff, because the liability then starts. Because generally, whilst you are structured in a particular way for tax or asset protection purposes, it may be difficult to take away the personal liability for settling, let's say, contracts or finance conditions or the like. So these things have a material impact if these things have not been mapped out, thought through properly, that, you know, will make life very, very difficult.
I find when a structure is put together and you have people coming into that structure, so you've got, you know, you've got parties that are coming together to do a deal, and they might form a company trust structure, they might form a company or something like that. One of the issues that I see is that one of the parties commits the company to expenses that the other party's going to have to pay for.
Right. Yeah. So this is, you know, mapping out exactly when you drill down to the detail of, you know, if you sign, you know, a company signs, let's say, a lease or something like that, you know, what does it actually mean to me as a joint venture partner with this particular joint venture, with my liability for commitments signed by the joint venture partner? Am I prepared to take that risk? So part of the analysis and the requirements for this document is to make sure that each joint venture partner is fully aware of their risk position with themselves, with each other, and also to third parties like banks, etc.
That's exactly right. Some of the things that I've seen, where joint ventures have fallen apart is where there's family members involved.
Right.
And with that, it only falls apart because the deal falls apart.
Yes.
It's all very well when everyone's making profits, but when things start to go wrong and perhaps a loss is made, you know, it can break up families. I've seen sisters who haven't talked to each other for 20 years because they did a joint venture together.
The family joint venture scenario is one where we see, you know, sometimes and very sadly where families break up because of it. I've known of situations and I've dealt with situations where parents and their, you know, and their kids form a joint venture where they don't even know that it's a joint venture at some level to do something and then and relying on, I guess, the relationship to keep things afloat. For instance, payments of rent that, it's mum's building, that means I don't have to pay rent. And then when mum requires payment of rent, it never comes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because it's relying on goodwill. So sometimes people come together and go, oh, we've been great mates forever. I trust him implicitly. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. But you don't map out what exactly that means. And then when the time comes where pressure is put on the doing the X, Y, and Z, that person goes, I didn't realize it was doing Y. I thought I was doing B. And then, you know, the miscommunication or lack of communication, lack of detail in the joint venture that will then make it all fall apart.
Very important to have that joint venture agreement up front. And, you know, it's when the joint venture agreement isn't put into place is when you've got the problem. So I really wanted to cover that off today, Calvin. Thank you for coming and having a chat about it. Because, you know, it's such an important topic. It's such something that so many people go, you know, they get the pressure of the deal and the deal's coming up and I've got to sign on the deal and the joint venture's not done and, oh, look, we'll do it later. But doing it later is often being done when things are already gone wrong. And it's very hard to be conciliatory when things are starting to go bad and you know, it said, we agreed on this and that and it's just verbal and it's not good enough.
No. I can't stress it enough that, you know, if you don't map it out, you will lose the detail of what you've agreed on, okay? It's very easy to say, oh, yeah, we're just going to do buy that property, renovate, and then flick it on. Now, that in itself sounds simple, but there is detail in there to like who's paying for what, what's each other's contribution, when is anyone going to do anything, and all of a sudden that is like become a difficult situation, and then relationships are tested, and then it's it has every chance then of failing. What I mean, having a joint venture agreement doesn't guarantee success, okay? What it does, again, is to map out very clearly what everyone is meant to do as some level of insurance and to keep each other honest. It is the platform whereby the parties can come together again to review what their position was at day one. So it's almost like a touchstone of the relationship where you come back and go, oh, yeah, that's right, that's what I meant to do. That's right, that's what they're meant to do, perfect, move on to the next step, as opposed to second-guessing and relying on multiple emails floating back and forth, or was that in this email thread, that email thread. It's pulling it all together into the one spot, in the one room, where you go in that room, in that spot, that document, and go, yeah, that's right, that's what we agreed on, move on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, thank you, Calvin, for being here today and for reviewing all of the nitty-gritty of joint ventures. Is not perhaps the most exciting topic, but it's a very important one, particularly when you're doing joint ventures. So thanks for coming.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, guys, I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon. And as I say, if you are enjoying the podcast, make sure you tell all your mates about it and they can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. They're free. And I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now, guys.